The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
You are welcome to church. This is another time of encounter in God's presence. And it is my sincere prayer for you that God is going to bless you richly and abundantly into the service in Jesus' name. We started a series on the theme for this month, which is Destiny Decoration. And last week, we looked at the lifestyle for destiny decoration. And there we look at the lifestyle of integrity as the key to our decoration. We looked at what integrity means, which means integrity is the key that guarantees your decoration. Integrity means being straightforward, being transparent, being honest, and we also saw how integrity can be the key to our breakthrough and decoration in life. Without wasting time, we shall continue in the series, and the theme and the topic for today's message says Destiny Decoration via Spiritual Vibrancy. Destiny Decoration via Spiritual Vibrancy. You are a person created by God to be decorated. The Bible says, everyone that I've created, I've created them for my glory. When you look at the Bible, more importantly in the book of Psalm, chapter 8, 4 to 6, the Bible talks about man and the glory that God created him with. So what is man that thou should be mindful of him, or the son of man that thou should be thoughtful of him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. So there is an honor that God has created us with, and that is the beauty of our decoration. The people of God, no child of God is created for shame and reproach in life. One of the major ways to assess destiny decoration in life is through our spiritual vibrancy, or what you can call spiritual vibrancy. That is spicing up your spiritual life with love and passion for God. What is spiritual vibrancy? We shall be looking at some of the definitions here. What is spiritual vibrancy? Spiritual vibrancy is maintaining a vibrant, robust spiritual life that is evidenced by the kingdom service, holiness, spiritual life, Bible study, praying, and all other important Christian activities. I take that again. Spiritual fervency is maintaining a vibrant, robust spiritual life that is evidenced by the kingdom service, holiness, praying, Bible study, and all other necessary Christian activities in the kingdom. That is the first definition. What is spiritual fervency? Spiritual fervency means an intense passion for God and the advancement of His kingdom. An intense passion for God and the advancement of His kingdom. That is what spiritual fervency means. Number three, what is spiritual fervency? Spiritual vibrancy is maintaining a high frequency in your commitment and service to God. Maintaining a high frequency in your commitment and service to God. If you have been operating at a low frequency of relationship with God, by the time you switch onto a high frequency. When your commitment increases, that is what we mean by spiritual fervency. Number four, what is spiritual fervency? Spiritual fervency is to set yourself on fire for God in order to accomplish His will here on earth. Setting yourself on fire for God in order to accomplish His will here on earth. When Jesus was teaching His apostles the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So, when we engage ourselves, when we switch to spiritual vibrancy, when the power of spiritual vibrancy is at work in us, what we see is that we are setting ourselves on fire for God in order to establish His will here on earth. Number five, what is spiritual vibrancy? Spiritual vibrancy is readiness to serve God without compromise or discouragement. Readiness to serve God without compromise or discouragement. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" He said, "Then I said, here I am, send me." Readiness to serve God without compromise. When nobody else is available, you make yourself available in the service of the Lord. When God was looking for someone to send, God looked around, they couldn't find anybody except Isaiah. And the Bible says, Isaiah said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." That is spiritual vibrancy. Don't forget that definition, that spiritual vibrancy is readiness to serve God without compromise or discouragement. Isaiah 42 verse 4, the Bible says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged until he has set judgment upon the earth, and the high shall wait for his law. He shall not fail nor be discouraged." There are so many things that we want to discourage you in the service of God, but the Bible says, when you engage yourself and the power of spiritual vibrancy is at work in you, nothing will discourage you. You have every reason to give up. You have every reason to say, "No, I'm not proceeding." But the Bible says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged until he has set judgment upon the earth, and the high shall wait for his law." That is what spiritual vibrancy is all about. And the last definition I have here, what is spiritual vibrancy? Spiritual vibrancy is aligning your spirit man with the Spirit of God. Aligning your spirit man with the Spirit of God in order to create a spiritual balance in the realm of the spirit. When your spirit man aligns with the Spirit of God, there is a balance in the realm of the spirit. But when your spirit man does not align with the Spirit of God, there is a vacuum. And that vacuum creates an imbalance in the realm of the spirit. Don't forget, the Bible says God himself is spirit. And if anyone is going to relate with God, he has to relate with God on the basis of spirit. Spirit can only beget spirit. Spirit can only work with spirit. Praise the Lord. God is spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So spiritual vibrancy or spiritual vibrancy aligns your spirit man with the Spirit of God, so that there can be a balance in the realm of the spirit, so that fellowship can be established, so that the will of God can be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Everything that is done in heaven, God wants a replicate of them here on earth. And it takes spiritual passion and love for God to fulfill this mandate here on earth. A man that is not spiritually vibrant, spiritually buoyant, spiritually bogus, spiritually available, cannot walk with God. Therefore, such a person cannot be useful in the service of the Lord. Having therefore seen what spiritual fervency means, we shall move on. Listen, the people of God, like I've rightly said, that God created us as a spirit. He also impacts into us a spirit, so that a spirit can empower our whole human spirit, so that we can enjoy fellowship with the Spirit. Our fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is with the Son. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. The Bible says our fellowship is also with the Father. We are not just fellowshipping with the Father, but we are also fellowshipping with the Son. And we are also fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. When you read the grace or the benediction tells us that may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Each time we come together for fellowship, we are coming together to meet with the spirit man. We are coming together to meet with the spirit being. We are coming to meet together with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whom we cannot see. But when we are spiritually vibrant, our spirit tones into fellowship with God. Listen, the people of God. God created us as spirits. He puts us in the body, and we also have a soul. These three entities are very important in the agenda of God. They are important in the prophetic agenda of God for the world that He created. Your spirit is important to God. Your soul is important to God. Your body is important to God. Through your body, you have contact with the physical world that God created. Your soul is an embodiment of your reasoning. And your spirit, God also gives unto you for fellowship. All these three are important. But listen, the people of God. Of these three, your soul ranks higher than any of the other two. Why? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7, Bible says, then the spirit, the dust shall return to the head as it was. Talking about the body. The dust shall return to the head as it was. The body will drop dead and the spirit will return to God that gave it. But what becomes of your soul? That means that it is your soul that will stand before God in judgment. And that is why you cannot take lightly your soul. Jesus Christ was teaching the multitude that He said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You have to feed faith in fellowship, feed faith on God's word to enrich your soul. Many of us, we pay so much attention on our physical body. We adorn our physical body. We use so much expensive cosmetics on our bodies at the detriment of our souls. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? That is what the scripture is saying. Your spiritual vibrancy empowers your soul. It empowers your spirit. It empowers even your body. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly look at the important fact about spiritual fervency. Number one, spiritual fervency is a personal choice that you have to make. Everything in life is about choice. John C. Maxwell said, no man can be motivated beyond the level of his expectation. No man can be motivated beyond the level of his expectation. God has ordained your expectation as the channel for your elevation. So your spiritual growth and development cannot be possible except your expectation about them is high. If you want to come up spiritually, if you want your spiritual vibrancy to be on point, your expectation about your spiritual growth and development must be high. Expectation. No one can be motivated beyond the level of his expectation. When your expectation about your spiritual development and growth is high, you can be sure that you'll become potent in the kingdom. You'll become spiritually vibrant. You'll become spiritually buoyant. Let's quickly look at some of the scriptures in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. The book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. The Bible says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those that entered into the temple." Verse 3, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us." And the Bible says, "And he gave it unto them, expecting to receive something from them." Expecting to receive something from them. Expecting to receive something from them. When your expectation is high, your miracle is about to break forth. When your expectation about your spiritual development and growth is high, your spiritual vibrancy is about to break forth. When your expectation is high, something great is about to move from God into you. The Bible says, expecting to receive from them. Then Peter says, "Silver and gold we do not have, but that which we have, because of your expectation, we are going to give unto you." And exactly, the Bible says, the man did not go empty-handed. What he had been longing for in life, what he had been searching for in life, what he had been hoping for in life, what he had been praying for in life, came to him because of his expectation. So your expectation about your spiritual growth and development must be high. And that is the choice that you have to make. Making a choice for personal devotional development. Making a choice of daily walk with God. Nobody is going to do this for you. You have to do it by yourself. Praise the Lord. It is a choice. Psalm 81 verse 10, the Bible says, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." You do the opening, God does the filling. God does the filling, you do the opening. It is a choice that you have to make. Psalm 21, 23, verse 1 to 3. The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture." He makes me to lie down in green pasture. God makes him to lie down in green pasture, but it is his own responsibility to do the grazing. God can only make you lie down in green pasture. You are supposed to do the grazing yourself. In verse 5, the Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." God does the preparation of the table. He makes the table ready, but you do the eating. You do the eating, God provides the table. God sets the table, you do the eating. That is the choice that you have to make. We have to make the same choice for our spiritual growth and development. We have to make that same choice for our spiritual fervency. When your expectation is high, your elevation is near. Number 2. Spiritual fervency can be seen in a believer and can be perceived. That is the second fact. Spiritual fervency can be seen in a believer and can be perceived. When a man is drunk, you can smell the alcohol all around him. You can see the drunkenness all over around him. When a man is intoxicated, everything around him will show that this man is really intoxicated. The same thing goes with spiritual fervency. When you are on fire for the Lord, it is seeable. It is feelable. It is noticeable. It is observable. When a man is on fire for the Lord, everybody will see him, everybody will perceive it. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Acts of Apostles, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned." Listen, the people of God. The Bible said they perceived that they were unlearned. They were unlearned because they did not have a certificate. They were unlearned because they did not go to the university. They were unlearned because they did not go to Cambridge. They were unlearned because they were not tutored in the secular institution. When they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, ignorant in the sense that they did not go to school, but not that they were not baptized by the Holy Spirit. They did not go to school, they did not have a certificate, but they were well tailored and tutored in the school of the Holy Ghost. The Bible now goes further to say, there, bring it up. When they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. But when you read the next statement, the Bible says, and they took knowledge of them. The expression taking knowledge of them means they took notice, they observed. Apart from what they had earlier seen, they were seeing something else in them. They did not have certificate, yes. They did not go to the university, yes. But they saw something that was very peculiar, something that was very tangible in their lives that other people could not have, did not have. When they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, but they took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. These were the people that had rubbed mind with Jesus. These were the people that exchanged, embraced the teaching of the Lord Jesus. These were the people that were taught by Jesus. These were people that were at fellowship with Jesus. These were people that had dined with Jesus. These were people that had wine with Jesus. These were people that had slept with Jesus. These were people that had prayed with Jesus. The Bible said they took notice of them. That they had been with Jesus. When a man is on fire for the Lord, it is noticeable. When a man is on fire for the Lord, it is seeable. When a man is on fire for the Lord, it is observable. When a man is on fire for the Lord, everything will show. They saw that they had been with Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 14, and seeing also the man that received his miracle stand with them, their evidence was also right there beside them. Their proofs were also right there with them. The Bible says they could say nothing against it anymore. I see God shutting the mouth of your enemies. I said, I see God shutting the mouth of your enemies. Every enemy that has been reproaching your life and destiny, every enemy that has been shaming you, every enemy that has been speaking evil of you, every enemy that has been speaking evil of your destiny, every enemy that has been speaking evil of your family, God will shut their mouth today in the name of Jesus. The second fact, spiritual vibrancy can be seen in a believer and it is perceivable. Number three, no one can be fervent for another person. No one can be fervent for another person. Your personal development is your own task. It's your own assignment. It's your own responsibility. No one can do it for you. I can't help you to grow. I can only lead you. But your responsibility, when I was in secondary school, there was a write-up that I saw. And in that write-up, it was a Chinese saying. And the statement said that a teacher will only show you the way to the door. He will not walk you through the door. It is your responsibility to enter through the door. At another time, I saw another one. They said, what your teacher needs to teach you is just 40% of all you need. The remaining 60% is your homework. So nobody does it for you. That is why you have to take it very serious. Number four, spiritual vibrancy is a personal responsibility. You have to cultivate it before it can grow. If you don't cultivate it, it cannot grow. The Bible says, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his appetite. Let us quickly look at some of the examples of spiritually vibrant people in the Bible. Number one, Jesus, our Lord. The first example of spiritually fervent people that we have in the scripture is Jesus, our perfect example. perfect example. He was zealous for God. He had passion for God. At a point in the book of John chapter 4, from verse 16, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ sent his disciples out to go and buy food. They went out to buy food. By the time before they came back, Jesus had already started engaging a woman in an evangelical operation, was engaged in an evangelical operation, witnessing to a woman. By the time the disciples came back and they saw Jesus interacting, preaching the gospel to the woman, he said, "But sir, I thought some minutes ago you told us to go and buy food. You were hungry. Have you gotten something to eat?" And Jesus responded and said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." In other words, the food of Jesus is ingrained in doing the will of his master. They were so surprised that this was our master that just asked us to go and buy food. We knew he was hungry. But at the point in time when they saw him again, engaging the woman in the word of God, they asked him, "Have you eaten?" He said, "I've already eaten. My food is what I'm doing right away." He's our perfect example. We have another example in the scripture, in person of Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle said, he said, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel, for necessity is laid on me." Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And we have so many people today, even in the church of God, we plead, we beg, we motivate, we ask you to go and win souls. Yet, people are not responding. And here is a man that said, woe is, do you know the meaning of woe? Woe is like a curse. Putting a curse upon his life if he did not preach the gospel. No wonder he gave himself to the service of God. No wonder he gave himself to the preaching of the gospel day and night. No wonder he was thoroughly beaten on several occasions because he was preaching the gospel, yet he would not cease to preach the gospel. He said, "On three different occasions, I was beaten. On three different occasions, I was beaten." Do you know what it takes to be beaten in the Roman Empire? It's 39 strokes. 39. So on those three occasions, he received 39 times three. You can imagine what that means. All in the name of the service of the Lord. No wonder when Paul the Apostle was about to give up the ghost, he said, "I finished my race, I finished my task, and I look forward to receiving the crown of righteousness which the Lord my God has promised me, and not only to me, but to as many as do his biddings." We also saw another person in the scripture, in person of Queen Esther, in the book of Esther chapter 4 verse 16, who gathered the entire nation of Israel together in fasting and in prayer, because she wanted to go and get a request, seeking to present a request, a national request for his people. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I said, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. What are the benefits of spiritual fervency? What are the benefits of spiritual fervency? Number one, spiritual fervency will help to connect you with God. Spiritual fervency will help in connecting you to God. Don't forget what we said initially, that God is what? Is spirit. So when you are spiritually fervent, you stay connected to God. You stay glued to God. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 40, said, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, so that I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their heart, so that they shall not depart from me." When you are spiritually inclined, there is something that moves from God into you and keeps you closer to God. We used to sing a song, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There is something that keeps you closer to God on a daily basis. There is something that keeps you closer to God every day of your life. When people are struggling to come for service, you always be in the presence of the Lord. The psalmist says in the book of Psalm 27, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek always, that I might, what? That I might dwell in the house of the Lord. How many days? All the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to behold the and to inquire in his holy tabernacle. It draws you closer to God. When you are spiritually on fire, when you are spiritually on point, you stay closer to God. It is a cause for a man not to be in the presence of the Lord. The psalmist says, a day in the presence of the Lord is better than what? 10,000 days in the world. A day in the presence of the Lord is better than 10,000 of days in the world. He said, it is better for me to be a gate man, even in heaven, than to be the champion in hellfire. The house of God is something that should delight us. We should be delighted in coming to the presence of God. It should give us joy. Psalm 122, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There is something that gladdens your heart when you come into the presence of the Lord. Because there is something peculiar about the presence of God. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When a man is sad, the moment he enters into the church, when a woman is sad, the moment she enters into the church, the sadness drops off. And it picks the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There was a statistic that was done some years back about the aged in the world. And they discovered that the oldest people in the world, they are in the church. What was the reason? Joy. Joy. A man can die faster if he's sad. Sadness kills faster than hunger. But when you come into the presence of the Lord, your joy is renewed. Your joy is renewed. Your strength is renewed. Every sorrow gives way for joy of the Lord in your hearts. Your hope is revived. Your hope is renewed. Your hope is restored. What you thought you would never be able to make in life again, by the time you come into the presence of the Lord, God gives you back your hope. He gives you back his promises. You see yourself in the light of the scripture. You hold on to it in faith, and your miracle breaks forth. So coming to the presence of God should not be something that we should be pressurized before we do it. When we understand the value, you hold on to it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What amazed me was the life of our Jesus Christ in the book of Luke chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 42 to verse 46, when they went for the feast at Jerusalem, which was the usual practice, having spent 3 days already, everybody left, Jesus stayed back. And they were busy looking for him here and there. They couldn't find him. Where did they find him? They found him right in the temple of the Lord, both hearing, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. I used to tell people, I said, if you are tired of coming to church, you will never enjoy heaven if you are given the privilege to go there. If you are tired of coming to church, if you are given the privilege to enter into heaven, you will not appreciate it. Because everything we do here on earth Everything they are doing in heaven is a replicant of what we are doing here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some people will say by the time we get to heaven, there will not be word again. No more message. I laughed. Why will there not be word? Because the God we are sitting with is what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why will you say there will not be word in heaven? When you will be sitting right in the presence of God, in the presence of the Word. If you are dull of hearing the Word of God here on earth, you will not appreciate it in heaven if you are given the privilege. When Papa mounts the pulpit, one of the things I enjoy most is for the Word to continue. Word to continue. Except when you do vigil and you come the following day for service, I see no reason why you should be dozing. Dozing with the Word. The Word. You are saying something, because the Bible says the Word of God is new every day. You see something different. You have seen it before, but you are seeing it another way. And God is speaking you through those experiences, those revelations. The light in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 10. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 10. Bible says, who is among you that has the fear of the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? That light is revelation. You can't walk with God and lack revelation. When you come into the presence of God, you are coming for revelation that will better your lot here on earth. Jesus took the apostles, the three of them, in the book of Matthew chapter 17, he took them to the mountain of transfiguration. And what he showed, another dimension of the world, they saw that day, they had never seen it like that before. And for the rest of their lives, they never remained the same. They were with the Word. They embraced the Word. They wine with the Word. They dine with the Word. They fellowship with the Word. But on this particular occasion, three of them were with the Word and they were seeing something else. The revelation, what was not revealed to others, was revealed to them. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The revelation that people had in the Old Testament were revelations from the prophet, but now we have a better revelation via the Son. So when you walk in the Spirit, when your spiritual antenna is rightly positioned, when you are on fire for the Lord, when you are spiritually vibrant, you stay connected to God and God will download his mysteries into your life. He said, come unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. There are so many things that we are yet to know, and yet people are running away from the presence of God. Is it because we are tired of learning, or we are dull of hearing? God will help us in Jesus' name. I said, God will help us in Jesus' name. Number two, the second benefit of spiritual vibrancy, you become useful for God on the earth. You become useful for God on the earth. You become useful for God on the earth. Useful vessels are not easily, they are not disposable. Before, when people go to a party or celebration, they serve them food. The host will be so much bothered about what? About their plate and their spoons. There is no occasion that people do that the plate will be complete. I don't know whether they will carry the plate and the food, put everything inside the nylon. But at the point in time, the device, the means, take away. Disposable materials. If you go with it with the food, that is your lot. But somebody
that is spiritually vibrant is not easily disposable. When you use tissue, you dispose it. When you drink sachet water, the sachet, you dispose it. When you use plastic spoon, if they give you even in parties, you do what? You dispose it. Everything disposable. But God will not dispose of you if you are relevant and useful to Him. Have you searched your kitchens? Have you searched your stores? Have you searched your wardrobes? Many things that are empty there, bottles, plastics. What do? When it is getting to 31st, you want to dispose and clean the whole house. You want to clean the whole house. Everything that is empty, you do what? You dispose of them. Everything that is useless, you dispose of them. When you are useful for God, when you are on fire for the Lord, when you are spiritually relevant to God, God will not dispose of you. Isaiah 65 verse 8, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one seer destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it. Even so will I do unto my prophet, lest I should destroy every one of them. At the time of destruction, God does a selection. And it is a selection for preservation and protection. When God was to destroy the entire world via the flood, God preserved the family of Seven. When God was to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, God preserved the family and Lot. When God is going to destroy the earth again by fire and brimstone, God will preserve His elect. As a new wine is found in the cluster, and once yet destroy it not, even so, because there is a blessing in it, there is something that God will not do away with. And that thing is what God has put in you that keeps you on fire for the Lord. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 20, chapter 2 verse 20 and 21. 2 Timothy. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good works. God has not given up on you, because there is something good that He has put in you that is useful for Him. There is no one in the church of God that does not have something to contribute to the kingdom. There is nobody in the presence of God that God has created that He has not created with something substantial. And what God is asking of is to serve Him with what He has given you. Serve Him with what He has given you. Serve Him with the capacity that He has endowed you with. That is the second benefit. You become useful to God on the earth. Number three. The third benefit is the benefit of everlasting life. The benefit of everlasting life. Romans chapter 8 verse 6. The Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is when you are spiritually on point, you have access to everlasting life. You have access to life. You have access to life. You can't die young. You have everlasting life. Life beyond limits. Life beyond end. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. For he that soweth to the flesh shall by the flesh reap corruption. If all your investment in life is on your what? On your physical body, you are running a loss, a business at a loss. If your investment in life is all about your body, about your flesh, you are running a what? a business at a loss. But the Bible says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall by the Spirit reap everlasting life. He that soweth to the Spirit shall by the Spirit reap everlasting life. He that soweth to the Spirit, if your investment is on your spiritual growth and development, you have access to eternal life, a life without end. Number four, the fourth benefit of spiritual vibrancy is victory in battle. Victory in battle. Life, according to our Father in the Lord, is a warfare and not a fun fear. Life is a warfare and not a fun fear. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the people we are contending with. You can't fight them with the arms of the flesh and prevail against them. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. For by strength, another version says, for by the arms of flesh shall no man prevail against them. You can't combat the spiritual with the physical. It is not possible. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know who principalities are? Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness. Look at the qualifications. Spiritual wickedness. They are not only wicked, but they are spiritual. They are not only spiritual, but they are also wicked. And they are not occupying low places on the earth. High places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. So life is a warfare and not a fun fear. You must be spiritually on fire to be victorious always. Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Casting down. You can only cast them down when your fire is burning. When you are spiritually vivant for the Lord. Casting them down. Let us quickly look at the ways to spiritual vivancies. Ways to spiritual vivancy. Number one, how can you gain access to spiritual vibrancy or vivancy? Number one, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 8. John chapter 3 verse 3 to 8. For verily I say unto you. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A man is limited by in his sight, in his revelation. When you are not born again, there is limitation to what you can see. There is limitation to what you can see about your future. There is limitation to what you can see about your tomorrow. There is limitation to what you can see about your progress. There is limitation to what you can see about your inheritance in the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A man is limited, or a man can move as far as he sees. And that was the reason why God spoke unto Abraham. He said, as far as your eyes can see, I have given you. As far as your eyes can see, I have given you. As far as you can see, you can possess. No one can possess what he cannot see. And that is why we have to pray that God should open our eyes. Open my eyes, that I may behold my inheritance in the kingdom of God. God will open your eyes. God will quicken your eyes. God will open your eyes to see your inheritance in the kingdom when you are born again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except, that is the condition, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The first one is seeing. The second one is entering. To enter is to have access to your inheritance in the kingdom, which is only made possible if you are born again. A man that is not born again is only shortchanging himself in life and destiny. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that the world is dying for will run after you. You have to be born again. You have to be born again to see. You have to be born again to have access to your inheritance in the kingdom. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? All things have been made available for us in the kingdom of God, but to have access to them, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, but he that is born of the spirit is spirit. You need to be in the spirit to possess your inheritance in the kingdom. You need to be born again to possess that which God has given unto you as your inheritance in the kingdom of God. You need to be born again to see what God has packaged together for you as your lot in the kingdom. You need to be born again to see what God has packaged together for you so that you can enjoy the dividend of his redemption here on earth. You need to be born again so that you can have everything that God has spoken concerning you in the promises of God. You need to be born again to see and to have access to what God has given to you by virtue of Jesus going to the cross to die for you. You need to be born again to have access to your inheritance that God delivered unto you on the platter of the blood of Jesus. You need to be born again so that the promises of God that are yea and amen can find full expression in your life and destiny. You need to be born again so can you can lead a joyful and meaningful life here on earth. You need to be born again so that you can be empowered to defeat every opposition in your way to progress. You need to be born again so that you can break loose and break forth in your left and to your right. You need to be break forth so that you can maximize the profit of the redemption on hand. You need to be born again. Say to somebody sitting beside you, are you born again? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell where it cometh from and where it is going. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Anyone that is born again is unstoppable in destiny. Anyone that is born of God is unstoppable by the enemy. Anyone that is born again cannot be stopped. Your destiny cannot be stopped. Your motion cannot be stopped. Your progress cannot be stopped. Your advancement cannot be stopped. I prophesy over your life that no enemy shall stop you in your journey to progress in the name of Jesus. Number two, ways to spiritual vibrancy. You have to have a desire, a desire, a desire. You have to have a desire. You must possess a desire in your heart to be spiritually vibrant. You can only possess what you desire. You can only possess what you desire. That is what our master says. You can only possess what you desire. If you don't have a desire, you don't have a destination. One of the keys that liberated me in life was when I was reading the work of Dr. Yonki Cho, My Home Cells Growth, The Secret of My Home Cells Growth. The man of God said, if you have a desire, you will have a vision. It is desire that births a vision. When God is giving you a vision, He will give you a desire. Did you understand that? A man without a desire is like a dead man. The Bible says, surely there is an end, and the expectation, the desire of the righteous shall not be cut short. There are evil desires and there are good desires. When you desire something good for yourself and for God, for the advancement of the kingdom of God, you are unstoppable. I read through the Bible and I discovered that when David proposed in his heart to build the temple for God, such as that he had never been done in the history of the world, God looked at him and said, what a very beautiful idea. But I don't live in a house that is made of man. My intention is to dwell, to make your body my own tabernacle. But because you have dreamt, you have desired something good, I will make it happen. Only that you are not going to be the one to build it. I have ordained your son to build it. It is only evil desire that runs against the will of God on earth. If your desire is good, God will permit it. The only desire that God will fight is if your desire is against the will of God. The Bible says, and now nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. It said, therefore, let us go down and confound their tongues. When the desire runs against the will and the counsel of God, God will stop it. But a good desire, God will permit. So you have to have a good desire. A desire to grow in the spirit. A desire to be on fire for the Lord. A desire to be spiritually vibrant. A desire to be on up and doing in the service of God. You shouldn't be on the follow-up list. Enough. To be on the follow-up list is to be a Christian that doesn't know what he is doing or she is doing. If you don't go to church on Sunday, where will you be? If you don't go to Bible study on Sunday, where will you be? Sitting at home resting. Say, God forbid. My father used to say, God forbid. Say, God forbid. Hallelujah. Number three, ways to spiritual vibrancy. You have to be determined and resolute. You have to be determined and resolute. Everything that is good takes determination. And number four, you must associate with spiritually vibrant people. Proverbs 27 verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, even as a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Associates with spiritually vibrant people. The people of God, the word of God has come to us. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It points to you, it points to me. Where we need to make adjust, let us adjust. And the Lord will bless us richly in Jesus' name.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.